Look through the window of the original Joe's on North Beach and you'll see two guys at the counter talking ball. Time for you to listen in to their conversation. Marty Lurie and the SF Chronicle's Bruce Jenkins are looking through the window of baseball. Sponsored by Original Joe's of North Beach and Westlake on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
All right, nice to have you back with us. Let's talk to our dear friend Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Bruce, how are you today?
Great. Enjoying a nice off day and a beautiful day out here on the coast. Very nice.
Yeah, boy, the weather, you know, I was explaining some to someone, June is usually the fog month, which you know you live down that way.
Yeah.
The weather's been great.
Yeah, we have like five fog months. This is usually the... come June, we'll be heavily in the fog veil. But, yeah, it's really delightful. And I don't know. These days, everywhere in the country, the weather gets pretty screwy. You can't really predict it anymore.
Sort of like the Major League Draft that's coming
exactly,
up.
Exactly, yeah. Good segue there.
Yeah, we had Keith Law, who really is like a Mel Kiper of the baseball amateur draft. And and I said to him, I said, boy, when you get to Monday, you know, is it like your birthday or New Year's Eve or... what's it like? And he says he doesn't know what to do with himself the day of the draft until it happens because he's analyzed everything. What a day for young people. Hey, Sean Dunstan was the number one pick in the country. It's a big day.
You know, I love the draft. I love watching the entire thing because they show you little video clips, and admittedly it's not totally revealing, but I just remember seeing shots of, you know, Buster Posey and Bumgarner, as amateurs and getting a little look at them. And, they analyze them pretty good. And it's very, very, very well done. It's a great show.
Yeah, I like it a lot. And, Bruce, as I said, the Giants have the number two pick. And Will Clark was a number two pick. Posey was a five pick. Matt Williams was a three pick. Jason Grilley was a four pick. So you want to make sure you're right about this thing. So do you go with a college kid? Do you go with a high school kid? And knowing where the Giants are as an organization, what do you think they should do?
Well, there's a lot of pitchers out there. It seems like seven or eight of the top 10 guys that I've seen on some of the lists they're all pitchers. And, you know, the way it's been going with the Giants, you know, with the rotation, the uncertainty, you know, on certain days, you know, all their guys look great, you know, Block, Stratton, and of course the veteran guys. But, you know, you wonder, and you're going to have to, at some point, you're going to have to deal with the fact that the league is getting way, way younger, and they're going to have to be, you know, viable for years to come. And I think, you know, a pitcher is always a good idea. I've seen a few people, I think maybe even Keith Law, said they might take a catcher named Joey Bart.
Yes.
I saw some clips on him today. He's a big guy. Looks like that guy who came in from the football field. Looks like a real man with a lot of power, good arm. He's a leader, and he's a catcher. That's looking toward the future, but... he's an interesting guy, and you know it's really kind of a mystery. I think bottom line, I think you can go wrong drafting anyone, but I think a pitcher is probably a pretty good idea.
Bruce Jenkins joins us, and we talked to Keith Law about that too. That the fans here sometimes get upset because they just haven't produced outfielders. They go, "Where's our all-star outfielder? Where's our all-star Carlos Correa?" They've got Brandon Crawford. They've got these pieces. What do you say to the fans who are saying, hey, we need outfielders or we need hitters? Do you believe sort of what Marty and I and Keith Law believe, just get the best player available?
Yeah, I mean, it's really tough. I mean, when you think about Belt and Crawford and Posey and Bumgarner, that's what I fire back at the people who say that they can't draft.
Right.
You know, it's every year, it's a bit of a crapshoot. Sometimes you score. They scored heavily. They won three world titles. You don't do that, you know, for 20 years in a row. They haven't drafted and developed a position player since Panic. It's been a while. I have faith in their scouts and their analytics and the way they look at it. They've had great success in the past, and I wouldn't expect this drought to last much longer.
Well, if Casey Mize, this is not John Mize is Big John's son. this is Casey Mize, Johnny Mize, of course, the great Hall of Famer. He went to Auburn, and he looks like a pitcher, as Adam said, who could walk right in. But I like Joey Bart.
Yeah, I do too.
It sounds like Jason Varitek, you know, that kind of guy.
And yes, exactly. That's a good he looks a little bit like him. He's a really solid-looking guy.
Yeah. He was Georgia Tech, too, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yes, I think he was.
Matt Wieters,
you know, they're gonna
Georgia
need,
Tech.
Posey won't catch forever. I think he's obviously going to be around for a lot more years, but maybe the kid can play a little first base. You never know about Belt. You know, just there's so many things happen. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's going to be fun because that first pick, if Bart goes to Detroit, then, all, as they said in 1947, all hell breaks loose after that. Because who knows? Maybe
Johnny
the Giants
was around then.
maybe they don't even take Casey Mize. You know, they go to some other place. This is going to be wild. This is going to be an interesting Monday, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, Casey Mize, I think he's had Tommy John surgery already or some kind of surgery. There are some kind of arm problems for sure that he's bounced back from really well. That's the one red flag on him is that he has had arm problems, and maybe that that red flag, you know, shines too brightly for the number one pick, but we'll see.
Yeah, you get a lot of money, you know, the so-called slot money. And what Keith said, which is, again, part of – he educated me a lot today – that you try to get someone in that area who will accept below slot money. So if slot money is $7 million and you get a guy who says, well, I'll take $4 million, you draft him, and then you have the extra money to put into other people in the draft.
Yeah. I hope Keith Law is on the telecast because he can really educate people as to who's taking what. And, you know, not just the Giants. To me, the whole thing is fascinating. What are the Dodgers going to do? Arizona, Colorado, and, you know, the teams in the A's division and all the way down the line.
Well, I think if Casey Mize doesn't go to Detroit, Keith Law is going to need a tranquilizer to get to get him back on the air. He won't know what to do. I mean, it'd be crazy. All right, enough of the draft. But, you know, it's coming up Monday. It's going to be a lot of fun. Bruce, last night, Stratton, I thought, was terrific. The curveball was snapping, and he looked great last night.
Yeah, and, you know, it was just one lefty hitter after another. It wasn't like the righty-on-righty thing. He was baffling left-handed hitters. I think some of them hadn't seen him, probably a lot of them. But, you know, with the curveball on two-strike count, that thing was really snapping, which is tremendously good news. I mean, he looked like he'd lost a little bit of that. You know, he's got the heavy spin rate, and he's one of the best at that already in his career. And, you know, after a few starts, you wonder if something's going on. But then he hauls that start out, and you're feeling good about him again.
Stratton pitched well. It was kind of how the Giants drew it up. He got through six, and then they brought the bullpen in there, how Bruce Bochy wants to do it, where he plugs a guy into each inning, and they just kind of mow him down. That's the plan for the Giants. Do you think they've got the ability to maybe be the best bullpen in the National League West? I say the West because it's stacked. It's Colorado and the Dodgers, I guess, struggling a little bit. But do you think the Giants' bullpen may be best in the West right now?
They have that possibility. I tell you, from the left side, Will Smith has been completely lights out. His breaking ball is just fabulous for a guy coming off Tommy John surgery. He's really left-handers have almost no chance against him. Tony Watson looks fantastic. He's been pretty consistent against guys either side. And, you know, Strickland, as long as he can throw that breaking pitch, you know, on the right count, and you don't know what to expect from him, he's very good. So, yeah, Melanchthon, I don't know where he's going to figure. He's not going to come back and close, nor should he. He's been completely unreliable from the injury standpoint and the stuff standpoint. But if he gets in that mix and he becomes like the Romo, and all of a sudden you've got four guys like the Giants had all through the title years, four really effective relievers, absolutely they can be the best in the division.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's the old Utska to Heath Bell to Trevor Hoffman to Lidge and all these guys, you know.
Linebrink was in there.
Linebrink, you know, Bruce Bochy made a career of having a bullpen like that.
Yeah. I mean, you remember the Cincinnati Reds back in 1990, they had that Randy Myers and Charlton and I think it was Dibble. I mean, you know, they had that incredible succession of relievers. And, of course, La Russa started it with Gene Nelson and Honeycutt and those guys. It's been part of baseball for a long time. It's not like starting a closer, like Romo in Tampa, but it's pretty time-honored, and it just works so well. I mean, it's one thing to be senseless about your bullpen and yank the starter too early, but when you've got four guys lined up like that late in the game, which the Giants have a possibility of doing, it's really invaluable.
Yeah, I think if you get six innings or six and a third, they can bring it home. And I think to answer Adam's question, I do think they have the strongest bullpen in the West. I really do.
Yeah, I do too. The Dodgers have a lot of problems. I mean, Jansen's been in and out, and the other guys, you know, they miss Watson and Morrow a lot. and the other guys haven't stepped up yet. The bullpens are so crazy and quirky. I mean, year to year, you never know what you're going to get necessarily. We were real lucky here to have, you know, Lopez and Affelt and those guys being so good year after year. But, yeah, I agree with you.
Bruce, we found out last night this morning about Brandon Belt getting the appendectomy, so he'll be out for some time. Just seems like the Giants extremely unlucky. A random, evolutionary flaws was leading to Brandon Belt's DL stint.
Yeah, they've had a lot of bad luck. You know, they've had more concussions than they'd care to comment on, and then this thing happens. Quirky injuries here and there. It's really a shame for Belt. It's funny because I was at a concert last night. I got around to the Giants late in the evening, and I knew what happened. I knew that Belt had been hospitalized, so I'm watching that first at bat. He looked just maybe a little uncomfortable. Really no sign that something was going on inside him. And then, God, it came on so fast, all of a sudden he's going to the hospital. You know, the guy, I feel so bad for him. He's had the concussions things, Lord knows. And all of a sudden, he's one of the most productive hitters in the league. And they really need him. They need starting pitching more because they've got enough hitting, to cover it for as long as he's out. But it's a shame. I just hate to see the Pablo Sandoval backup shortstop era come to an end, apparently.
Yeah, Alan Hansen is back. Pence is back. Of course, Belt is on the DL, and then Gregor Blanco has been he's cleared waivers, and he's on his way to Sacramento. So that was the move today.
I think if the season goes really haywire, they should have a game in September when Sandoval pulls a Campy Campaneris and plays a different position all nine innings. He could do that. The catching and the pitching are the hardest ones, and he's all over that. I think he can play short. Remember, Campaneris played all nine in 1965 when the A's were still in Kansas City.
I think it's great. Cesar Tovar did it. For Minnesota, and Campy, I talked to Campy about it. I think I did a show on it when I got to know Campy, and catching was his last position, and of course he had pitched and all this stuff, and Campy Campaner is one of the great shortstops of all time.
He should
get a lot of play for Hall of Fame, but on that team so many others did, he didn't quite get his due. So here it is, it's the last inning, he's playing, he's catching, and someone hits a sacrifice fly to left field. And the runner on, Bruce and I have talked about this, the runner on third base was Spanky Kirkpatrick.
Yeah, another catcher, right. A real catcher.
And he came in and put Campy into next week.
And that was, way to finish. The game went into extra innings, but Campy was done. He figured, what the hell, I played nine different positions.
Yeah, Campy they took Campy away after that, so...
That was a Charlie Finley thing, trying to jack up attendance, which was terrible. And, you know, they moved to Oakland pretty soon after that. And they got 21,000. The day after, they're still playing the Angels, they got 1,200-something.
You know, Charlie Finley, Bruce, in the 60s, for folks who don't remember him, he was the owner of the Kansas City A's and then, of course, brought the Kansas City A's to Oakland in 1968. What promotions this guy would do? I remember Rocky Colavito, I think... got his 400th home run or 350th home run, and in the clubhouse, when Rocky came into the clubhouse after the game, there were 350 silver dollars at his locker. You know, that kind of stuff.
It'd be interesting to see what Finley would do today if he was around, because there's so many wild innovations going on with radical shifts and relievers starting the game and all these theories about how the games would be played shifting. You know, Charlie would probably... he'd have everybody in right field for certain hitters. You know, he might even put the catcher out there for the hell of it.
Come on, he put Sheep in left field. There was the grassy knoll out in left field. He put Sheep out there where people were sitting. They had Sheep walking around.
You know, you gotta love that guy. He was I worked the Chronicle desk in the A's glory days. I was just starting out, and we were always catching up to what Ron Bergman was writing for the Tribune, because we weren't traveling with the A's, and Bergman had these great stories. So I'd be the guy who would call Charlie Finley in his office like the next day to catch up on the news, and, what do you want? He sounded like he was half in the bag every time. It was like 2 in the afternoon. The real character.
I loved it. It was great, great stories, and he even painted the sheep green and gold. That didn't go over well because of animals.
The sheep were pissed. They wanted to be black or white.
Yeah,
you know?
Black sheep in the family. That was it. So they had that going on. And then the great story with him was with the A's in those days. Remember Irv Noren was the...
Sure, left-hand hitter, held his bat up high.
Yeah, hitting coach, third base coach for the A's. And his daughter married Jim Street. Remember Jim Street, who was the beat writer for the A's, covered the A's?
Yeah, we call him the QB after the old Texas quarterback.
That's correct, Jim Street. And Eric Nurin said, well, it could have been worse. She could have married Ron Bergman.
Well, I'll tell you, Ron Bergman, the late Ron Bergman, one of the great baseball writers of all time. If you ever could possibly find a book called The Mustache Gang that he wrote, it's hard to find, but it's a really definitive work on those crazy A's teams.
Boy, I loved him. I did a lot of interviews with Ron Bergman. And, oh boy, we can go on with stories about him forever. Pretty good. Well, I'll tell you, you know, the Phillies are here. They strike out a lot. It's the story of 2018. They've struck out more than 10 times, 6 times in a row. I think it's some sort of record. Suarez tonight, Velasquez struck out 12 Giants the last time. I think it's got the makings of a 2018 pitching matchup of strikeout guys.
Yeah, I know. Last night was pretty sick. I mean, they really looked kind of hopeless out there. You know, the flip side of how good Stratton looked was how bad those guys looked. But they've had a heck of a year. I mean, they, you know, things are so streaky, and you know, Gabe Kapler's got them shaking things up there, and you know, they're going to be in it for a while. I think I like what they've done. They're 7 games over 500 right now, which is more than a lot of teams can say.
Yeah, not hitting a lot right now, and they just as Carmen pointed out to me, they just came out of L.A. and 4 tough games, and now they're up here, and you know, they're on the road, so they're not hitting a lot right now. Maybe the Giants are getting them at the right time. It's part of the season when you play a team.
Yeah, they don't have Hoskins, and you know they're going to need Herrera to do a lot of damage. They miss Hoskins quite a bit, and that kid Williams is starting to hit the long ball. He's a threat. So, but yeah, it's not a fearsome looking lineup, but it's kind of, but it's whatever the makeup of the team. I think it's very cool that they've gone from a team that was supposed to be tanking with a kind of a wacky manager to a real threat.
Hey, and now I can't wait to see Sir Anthony Dominguez, the relief pitcher, throws like 98. He's faced 45 hitters. I think he's retired 42 of them.
I don't know much about him. It sounds like another Josh Hader.
Yeah, Sir, it's S-E-R, S-E-R Anthony, Sir Anthony Dominguez.
Sir Anthony.
Sir Anthony.
Right. It's not like Sir Hensley Mullins, but that's his name, Sir Anthony.
Let's hope he keeps it up or it'll be Turd Anthony.
Boy, what a game. I love it. What a game. All right.
Great
we got
game,
so much,
Marty. The best game.
All right. We got so much coming up. Have a great night. And what concert did you go to last night?
Tower Power's 50th anniversary at the Fox Theater. It was unbelievably good. Jeez, these guys are my age, and they're just absolutely killing it. Fantastic stuff.
Oh, beautiful. All right, have a good night, and we'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Okay, you got it.
All right, thanks, Bruce. All right.